What's up, footy fans? We're back again with another brand new episode. A lot of things to talk about, from European football to the big clash this weekend and to FPL. So without any further waffling, let's get down to it. Welcome to the latest episode of Back on Our Podcast. So Josh, how do you see the European games, bro?
I mean, it was crazy. We had drama everywhere. Drama at Old Trafford. We had drama in Madrid, the Atletico v Liverpool game. And I mean, it was just amazing. This is why we love Champions League.
Yeah, some of the games, I wish I could have watched it over and over again. I was so impressed by the beautiful football Ajax played. That was supreme. That was a thing.
I mean, I've seen that coming 4-0.
I'm telling you, it's not even just by the...
To be fair, you predicted they win, but I'm not sure you'd have predicted 4.
Now, I was thinking that it would be close. I knew Ajax would be more superior because they are a better team overall, but Dortmund had better, like, same key players like Royce, Haaland. But in that game they were just non-existent because of the way Ajax played that football. It was brilliant. That was supreme.
Okay, so let's start with a game I mentioned. Manchester United coming down from the dead basically against Atlanta, 2-0 down after the first half, 3 second-half goals. Maguire surprisingly with a very cultured finish, like almost a striker's goal. And we had the main man himself grabbing all the headlines because he scored the winning goal. What did you make of the performance overall from United?
I think Gasperini's side, they did their best. Because when they came into that game, they had, I think they had 5 key players out. So it was really an upward struggle already. But I think they held their own. They played beautiful football. I just knew Manchester United would end up winning the game because at the end of the day, we've seen this time and time again in football. When you just have the quality, you don't necessarily have to play well. You end up winning. So, and that's what happened.
Okay, yeah. So, if you're in the United camp now, you're a United player, are you worried about how poor, or no, not you're a player, or you're a United fan, because the players won't care about the performance they won, so they'll be buzzing. But if you're a United fan, would you be bothered with how terrible they were in the first half? Because if they had faced Liverpool or Man City, it wouldn't have been 2-0 in the first half. It would have been 4. Because City and Liverpool would finish off the chances that Atalanta wasted. So, should United fans be worried or should they be ecstatic and forget about the poor first half showing?
I think since Ole has been in charge, there's every doubt that, Manchester United, they are not really playing well. No matter how they win.
This is what Ole does, isn't it? Like, he's under pressure because I could have bet anything that if he had lost that game, the way it was going, it was looking like going to be a 3-0 or 3-1 defeat. If he had lost that game, lost the Liverpool game, and then lost the next game, he would have been gone. But because he won this game, even if he loses to Liverpool, he's still going to be on the seat.
It's just crazy. Like, we all know when Ole is back, his back is against the wall. He always knows how to come up with something. And even before the game, like, we saw some tweets from some top journalists saying, oh, his job is under threat. But me, I never felt like that. I just know that at the end of the day,
Ole is staying to 2024. He's an election president there.
Exactly. Whether anyone likes it or not. And looking at it, I think it's a win-win for us in football. Yeah, because I was even telling you, like, off-air, that Atlanta, they trained in Manchester City Stadium. They met for Guardiola.
How petty is that from Guardiola? Because how much does Guardiola hate United to allow Atlanta train at the City Ground? So it's not even a Premier League game that you're like, okay, you want them to drop points. This is a Champions League group stage that basically doesn't concern Man City.
What I would say to that is Guardiola appreciates good football. So if you play good football, like you're a disciple basically, so he will allow you to train with whatever facility he has. So that's what I would just say. But to me,
hate United, just Atlanta.
Exactly. Yeah. But to me, But to me, I just feel like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, either winning or losing the match, just good for football. Because if they had lost the match, we'd just banter United and we just move on. But now that they won the match, it means Ole is staying, and we love to see it.
How cynical is that? I mean, I asked a few of my friends that are United fans. Some of them were posting on their WhatsApp status, and I was like, and I was here, I was surprised, because I was like, wait, you guys are actually happy you won. Don't you know what this means long term? It means that Ole is staying. And then they're like, oh, damn, it's true. I'm like, oh, no, you continue being happy. You don't want Ole to stay, but you want United to win. At the end, you have to pick one. You can love your club, but then you might want them to lose one or two matches so the manager gets sacked so that your club can move forward long term. That's the mentality I have. I know some people say it's cynical. You should always support your club in every single match they play. But sometimes I go against my club, hope we lose so the manager gets sacked, and then we move forward from there. And I think, I don't know, but I think Ronaldo fans generally, that are not United fans, they don't want Ronaldo to play in the Europa League. So I understand those ones being happy. But for the core United fans being happy about that result, I don't know. I'm not sure I'll be happy for a United fan.
The dilemma they find themselves in. Well, I love it. Long may it continue.
We saw Leo Messi getting 2 goals. PSG, I mean, Leipzig, no disrespect. Leipzig is a team that PSG should be beating. Maybe not too comfortably, but still comfortably. But it was anything but comfortable. PSG were so out of sorts in the first half that Pochettino had to change his structure and made some substitutions. And credit to him. I know we bash him a lot. Especially, I know you bash him a lot more than me. And at least he showed that he's not completely clueless tactically, because he saw what was happening and he reacted to it.
He could have. There's nothing to even to me. He should have not been in that position in the first place if he had gone right options.
But we can give him credit for reacting to it, right?
Of course. Later in the latter stages of the Champions League, you don't have that opportunity. Before you know it, you're already knocked out. So this is what we've been saying. Top managers, they identify things really quickly and they fix it, even in the first half. So I cannot be giving credit to mediocrity. So we should give Ole 2 credit for turning things around too.
No. That was the players. Nah.
Okay.
But you can I think you can tell when something comes from a manager and when it comes from the players. Ole did not change the system. He just told the players probably something like, "You guys, you can do this," because he told the players that they are lucky to be Man United players. That's what he said in his post-match press conference. He told them they are lucky to be United players and that they are living the dream of millions of boys and girls. So basically, that was his team talk, but Pochettino actually changed something in the game. So I don't think they might be on the same level in terms of you don't rate them as managers, or I also don't rate them as managers. But on the night, Pochettino actually did work while Ole just sat there and watched his team win.
Yeah, so United fans will tell you there was a tactical change. But me, I saw it as an obvious change. Ole brought in Pogba. So that's a big change. You can say, okay, let's give the manager credit.
I'm not giving him credit for that. Pochettino changed.
Okay, no problem. What I'll just say is, at the end of the day, I think PSG, they need to really improve, because I don't see that when I look at Manchester City and the rest, that belief, that team play, that dominance that a big club should have in the Champions League, I've not seen it for them. So if they don't improve, there's no way they even get to the semi-final.
I'm sure they will improve. There's a lot of time from now to then, so they can only improve. They can't get any worse than this, can they? Barcelona, a vital win, but the performance was really lacking, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you see, when we just moved from the trinity of mediocrity, I just like the way we structured this. Perfect. You see how
you know, it didn't occur to me, you know.
Of course. But I'll just say, like, you see how Koeman started with the same kind of system, very, very similar, that's not gotten Barcelona any victory. Instead, Luke de Jong, who is missing sitters again, yet again in a crucial match. So I don't even understand why this Luke de Jong guy starts for Barcelona. I don't know
there's only one sitter I would call him missing. The rest were chances, but I won't call them sitters.
There were chances, very good opportunity. The header, there were two headers, one from corner, one from a set play. Man, the thing is, I don't want to even get frustrated because I just feel at the end of the day, he has the players. If he can't get the best out of them, well, that's his problem. And that's, at the end of the day, I just feel this is why I don't even feel like United were in the same position, because I just feel that Koeman is not getting a contract extension. So whatever happens, Ten Hag is what we want, and Ten Hag shall we get. Amen.
I'm not so sure I pray that for Ten Hag, because Barcelona, whoever takes over next, is either going to be given a lot of time to be able to succeed, or is going to be sacked after a short period of time, because trust me, this Barcelona issue is not a short fix. It has to take time, couple years, before they get anywhere close to where they used to be. So, Chelsea, trying to defend their crown. We won't read much into the win against Malmo, because with all due respect, it's just Malmo. So, comfortable 4-0 win, 2 Jorginho penalties, but it came at a cost. Werner and Lukaku getting injured.
Chelsea just went from being title contenders to Hospital FC. I don't understand how, in the space of how many minutes, they lost 2 players. I don't understand that.
I was watching it, I was just laughing, because who even writes this script? Like, imagine this is Hollywood. Who could write this kind of script that you lose your 2 strikers, 2 only recognized strikers, and then, it's just incredible.
Man, I don't know what to tell Chelsea, but they need to find a way to make sure that the Lukaku absence doesn't really affect them. Because what I'm reading, Lukaku
might... I think Havertz as a false 9 is probably the way they go for the next few games.
Yeah, most likely. We've seen it time and time again. I think this is time for Hakim Ziyech and the other guys to step up, because now they need to actually step up more than ever, because Chelsea now losing...
I've seen some British journalists pushing the agenda for Hudson-Odoi to be starting now, which I saw he came on and made an assist, but if I'm a Chelsea fan, I'm not sure Hudson-Odoi is a player I want to be starting for the club.
Honestly, I'll just say Hudson-Odoi is talented, but I don't know what it is with him that he's not able to still break into the side. And he's still a youngster that is just coming through.
He hasn't shown the dedication he's meant to show, because I think he believed the hype about him, which is very dangerous for young players. So you had 2 years ago, or is it 3 now, under Sarri, where Bayern came in with multiple bids for him. And as a young player, you start feeling like you've arrived. Oh, Bayern, this is Bayern are one of the biggest clubs in the world, even bigger than Chelsea. Some Chelsea fans might disagree, but Bayern is bigger than Chelsea. And so you have a club like that coming in for you, and then you start feeling like, yo, I've made it, I'm a big player. And then I think he slacked off. Unfortunately for him, he got that injury, but still, that's not an excuse. We've seen players return from long-term injuries. He hasn't been the same since the injury. Some might blame the injury, but I see it more as a lack of hunger to make it to the top. So far, he can still change that because he's very young, but so far I'm not seeing anything to show that he's going to turn his talent into the full potential he can be.
Honestly, I don't know what to make of it, because we all knew that other clubs wanted him, but since then he has just had this downward slope. So also because he's able to revive his career, because I like to see young and talented players in the first team of their parents' club or the club that's their boyhood club, basically.
Oh yeah, it's very romantic for the fans. You see how United fans love Greenwood, how Chelsea fans love Mount, and Barcelona fans love Fati. So there's always that thing, you want a homegrown talent to succeed, but the truth is that the talent has to be actually talented. Like, he needs to actually be good for him to be playing. You can't use the sentiment of, oh, he came through our youth academy, so he must play. That's not how football works. If that's how you want to run your club, then you'll be waiting for trophies for a very long time. So, another game, which arguably was the pick of the bunch for me, Liverpool at the Metropolitano, coming out 3-2 winners, but I'm not sure it was deserved.
Exactly. What I would just say is, yeah, a lot of problems that Liverpool have not solved. Like, you see the ball over the top. You can, 2 seasons ago, when that ball comes, you can see Van Dijk handling that. But these days, they can't even handle that.
Just on that, yeah. I think this is, Van Dijk played in the game where Liverpool lost 7-2 to Aston Villa last season. Sorry, Liverpool fans, for reminding you. I think that day and this Atletico Madrid performance, those are the two worst performances I've seen Van Dijk in a Liverpool shirt.
Yeah. Well, I've seen him had some. I will not say terrible games, but a low kind of Van Dijk kind of performance, not a performance you expect. But I'll just say for the Athletic game, there are situations where he wasn't able to recover well. He couldn't turn, especially for the Griezmann goal, the second Griezmann.
They made Griezmann look like prime Inzaghi or a legendary poacher like that. Like, Griezmann was prime Del Piero. Like, how?
I don't know.
Out of sorts this season.
Griezmann, you know what's funny? I even had this feeling that if Griezmann had stayed, he could have easily scored an hat-trick, but he got himself sent off stupidly.
Which is quite... And you saying stupidly sounds harsh, but I think it was an unfortunate incident. He obviously didn't mean it, and I think, even though he didn't mean it, it's a red card by the law and by the letter of the law. So the ref was right to send him off. But I don't think that should rub away from the good performance he had. I think if you're Griezmann, you take confidence from the performance and you forget about the red card.
He can forget about the red card all he wants, but I know that Simeone will keep reminding him of the red card because he cost them that game.
No, I don't think so because Simeone wasn't critical after the match. He wasn't critical of Griezmann. He said it was an unfortunate incident. But I mean, everyone knows how important Griezmann is to Atletico, a proper Griezmann. So seeing him return to his old self, at least for a game, must be very, very heartwarming for Atletico fans.
Well, you could say that, but what I just want to say is Liverpool, they were very, very fortunate not to draw that game, because I actually felt that game could have ended in 3-3. The penalty incident for Atleti, I think, was he on Jimenez? So I think that was a penalty.
You know, we talked on this, and I said it was a 50-50 call. I'm fine either way, yeah? But yeah, you were like, it should be a stonewall penalty, because it was not too dissimilar to the one that Liverpool actually got awarded a spot kick for.
Exactly. What's even funny is that the referee saw it in real time. Like, if you start watching replays, slowing it down, obviously you see Jimenez acting. Every player that goes down in the box acts these days. You have to act to actually buy the foul. That's why you hear managers tell their players, just go down. There's no need of you standing. I remember the incident Foden had with Milner. If Foden had just went down in that Liverpool game, Foden most likely get a penalty. That's how it works. So Jimenez went down so that he could buy it from the referee. But still,
you're supporting cheating, basically.
No, I'm not supporting cheating. It's just the way the game, the way the game has gotten to. And I think we've already said this. I think I've said this in a previous episode when I said that.
Are you in support of the way the game has gotten to?
No. I said this in the previous episode when I was like, you don't need to be going down before the referee sees that that's a penalty, because that's old. That's old. If we're trying to advance, we should be advancing well, not doing things that... So I need to go down to prove a point that I'm actually being impeded in the box. So okay. Now look at
some incidents where Mane hasn't fallen at all, and so he didn't get penalties, and Jurgen Klopp was like, well, Mane should actually be falling. So I think I get your point.
So now Jimenez had to act to even to, but when you look at the foul, he there's no way anyone would tell me that Jota didn't impede Jimenez. He impeded him. It was all this clumsy thing where you're trying to get to the ball, they now bombard this a player in front of you.
I don't even think it was clumsy. I think he did it on purpose. There's a difference between clumsy and doing it on purpose.
So at the end of the day, I think they were just fortunate. They were just fortunate. The funny thing about the entire incident was Suarez. There was a point where I actually think Suarez is about to bite the referee because Suarez was being very aggressive.
I'm not going down that road again. He's a changed man. Since he entered Barcelona, he's a changed man.
Of course.
So, Liverpool's man of the match, arguably Alisson, despite Salah getting 2 goals. Of which the first goal, they wanted to award it to James Milner, which would have been funny because Salah took a shot and deflected off Milner. So I was wondering, are they actually going to give Milner the goal? Because if he was a defender, they obviously still give Salah straight up, because if a shot is on target and it gets deflected, you give the player who took the shot. But this time it was his teammate, so it was actually tricky. And I'm not really sure what the law says on that. But it was good to see that Salah actually got the goal at the end, because at first they awarded it to Milner. Salah would have been really pissed.
The reason why they changed it, like obviously, like everyone knows this, like if the shot deflects from your own player, they will give most the other player the goal. But the reason why they still gave it to Salah was that they now slowed it down, and they now saw that it wasn't from Milner, it deflected from an Atletico defender. So
Really?
That's what happened.
It actually looked like Milner to me. Maybe I need to watch it back.
Yeah, you need to watch it again. Like they slowed it down and they're not like, okay, deflected from Atletico player. Because if that deflected from Milner, Milner will get the goal. That's how it just is.
Interesting. I think that law is actually a dodgy one, because why would I take a shot and he hits someone else and you give him the goal? I mean, what if I'm going for the golden boot and I won't go shy because of that? I would be pissed off. Like, seriously. So, we had Man City and Bayern Munich humiliating people's fathers. Man City winning 5-1 and Guardiola coming out to say that it was a tough match because Club Brugge are a very good club. Because apparently they are a very good club, because they drew with PSG on match day one. And Bayern making it look like the match was tough. Then all of a sudden, late in the match, they scored 4 goals. I mean, Bayern just do this to everyone, don't they?
They are so brilliant. The way they play football is exciting, and it's complete football these days. And I'm just happy for Sané. Sané looks back at it.
I thought you were being sarcastic and talking about Club Brugge. I'm talking like Guardiola. I mean.
No. I'm talking about Bayern. Bayern, they were brilliant, very dominant.
I mean, it's good to see Sané back on form, because we saw he was heavily criticized by the German fans, like Bayern fans in Germany and the German press. They were saying he was a waste of money because Bayern had to smash their wage structure to bring him in. He's one of the highest earners at Bayern Munich, and they were like, was he worth smashing the wage structure for Sané? And in the last 2 months, he has made the critics eat their words.
Yeah, that's true. I'm happy for the guy, because at the point I thought he was finished, honestly.
So crazy start. Since the 2018-19 season, Sané has the most direct free kicks in the Champions League, like goals from direct free kicks, 3. And next to him is Leo Messi on 2. And someone else is on 2, but I've forgotten the person. I apologize, whoever you are. But Sané on 3, Messi on 2, someone else on 2. I mean, that's quite interesting. Only three, and he's the top since 2018-19.
That's good. I even know about that stat.
Okay, so now let's go to the Premier League fixtures we have for this weekend. The key ones. If your club is not a big club, I'm sorry, we might skip you guys. So, basically, you find out if your club is a big club if we talk about your fixture or not. Okay, so we have two big clubs in one fixture, which is the biggest game in England and possibly Europe this weekend. Yes, I said it. I know the Clásico is also this weekend, but come on, who cares about the Clásico anymore? No, not who cares about it, but I think maybe not the Liverpool United game, but I think the Liverpool City game is now bigger than the Clásico. But I digress. We have Liverpool United this weekend. What are we expecting?
I think this is one of the fixtures where you don't come to it and be expecting, because you're on form, you're on song, that you actually win this game. So I feel like there'll be goals in this game. I see both teams scoring. And I think it will end in a 2-2 draw, something like that.
Oh, interesting. I think United have incredible players in Ronaldo and Bruno Fernandes, but Liverpool have a proper team structure. So I'm just leaning towards Liverpool for this one, but we'll see. We have Chelsea at home to Norwich. There's really not much to discuss here. If Chelsea don't win Norwich City, then they don't deserve to be in the title race.
I think Chelsea will win, because Chelsea have won 10 of their last 14 Premier League games.
I mean, forget about Lukaku and Werner being injured.
That's what I'm saying. Like, without Lukaku or anything, Chelsea have won 10 of their last 14 fixtures, Premier League fixtures against Norwich. So I think
that stat is even still poor. Just 10 out of 14.
It's not poor. 10 wins, 2 draws.
It's poor. Why are you doing with Norwich? Can you give me a good reason why a top club should be drawn with Norwich? Oh, so there are even 2 defeats there. Did you say 2 defeats?
Yeah. That's how it is.
My God, Chelsea fans, just cover your ears, because I don't know. How can... I'm not even saying anything. But maybe Norwich were better than they are now, because if this Norwich should beat any top club, the fans of the club, the owners of the club, the players should all cover their heads in shame, because this Norwich I'm seeing, I struggle to see them beating even a mid-table club.
No problem. We'll see.
We have Arsenal against Aston Villa. I said we'll be talking about big clubs. Should I even have touched this fixture?
Well, it's a big fixture, so, with the way Arsenal are playing these days. So
it's a big mid table fixture.
I don't know what to tell you. But what is even funny is that Brentford Leicester City is even a bigger fixture than this.
Ouch. But that's fair, because Brentford, we've seen what they've been doing this season, and Leicester fresh off the win against United last week, so they should be buoyed by that.
Yeah, and looking at Leicester's poor defending these days, I expect a lot of goals. But the only thing is that Leicester have won each of their last 5 away games against Brentford in all competitions, so that's just the damning start for Brentford.
But the Arsenal Villa game, I won't be surprised if it's a draw, to be honest.
Do you know what I think? I think this match might actually be 0-0.
I think we have some attacking players. Well, I won't bet against it, but I don't expect it to be goalless, but I wouldn't bet against it.
Honestly, Sharp, if it's not new, new, but me myself personally, I don't expect a lot of goals in it, because I just feel it's one of all those games where both teams cancel out each other.
And that's, I mean, how would an Arsenal fan feel hearing that Arsenal and Aston Villa cancel out each other? I don't think Arsenal are that bad. I think Arsenal are better than Villa, but it's just the which Arsenal are we going to see on the day? That's where I worry for. That's why I worry for them, because if it's the proper, like if they play to their full potential, they should be beating Aston Villa quite comfortably. So now over to the La Liga, we have the El Clasico. Now I said something about the El Clasico when I was talking about the United Liverpool fixture. Is the El Clasico still the biggest club fixture in the world, or has it lost its spark because there's no Messi, there's no Ronaldo, and both teams are far from their best?
And obviously, like, there's a power shift already. Clasico used to be the most watched fixture because of the players on show, but now I think the two clubs are going into a transitional phase.
Now the most watched fixture, strangely enough, is United and versus Liverpool, or Liverpool versus United, whatever way. That's the most watched fixture, which I kind of get, because United has a very large fan base or fan following all over the world. So I could actually see how that's possible.
Yeah. I could see why it's possible, because both teams are still the biggest club in England. But I'll just say this about the Clásico. The Clásico, I expect Barcelona to try and come through, because they are playing at home.
When last did Barcelona win Real Madrid? You gave me a very, very shocking start
Barcelona last win against Real Madrid came 2019. So that was like about 2 years ago.
What year are we in?
And you said?
What year are we in?
We're in 2021, so it's over two.
Almost 22. Like 2 months away. So yeah.
Of course.
So if they don't win this weekend, then they are waiting 3 years for a win against Madrid.
Koeman at the wheel. So what if?
You can't blame that on Koeman, can you?
No. I can't, because it all depends on the player he starts. Just imagine him starting Luke De Jong, and maybe possibly starting Frankie De Jong in centre back. So, you know, Koeman has this strange formation. So, it just depends on the lineup.
What are we expecting?
I just feel if Koeman goes with Barcelona's strongest lineup, I think the match can end in a draw. Because when you look at it, Madrid already, as we know, we've sat on this podcast and said that they have a very, very poor defense. And Barcelona as well has a poor defense. But the only thing is that Real Madrid has one of the best players in the world, which is Karim Benzema. So if Benzema is on form and he comes through for them, Barcelona will have a very, very long day at the Camp Nou. But I just think if Barcelona are able to start the attacking players that have come back from injury, the likes of Fati, and possibly get Aguero to play like 15 minutes in the latter stages of the game, I think they will have a chance, because they have good attacking players. But if Koeman goes ahead and start playing Luke De Jong, man, long day.
I feel like you're just picking on Luke De Jong, because he has not been the only bad Barcelona player this season. I can mention off the top of my head, like 8 players who have been awful for Barcelona this season. But you just keep hammering on Luke De Jong.
Let me not mention names.
There's no time for that.
Before we move on, the reason why I'm mentioning Luke De Jong is obviously, like, you can go through the Barcelona's entire squad and you can pick names that have not been playing well, and which is, I agree with you on that. But the reason why I keep mentioning Luke De Jong, I was told that Luke De Jong is better than Neymar in the air. Luke De Jong hasn't scored any goal.
And he's missing headers, right?
He's missing sitters in the air. So please let that make sense. That's the reason why I'm picking on it. Nothing personal, basically.
Score prediction.
I think this one will be 1-1, but I'll just say 2-1 to Real Madrid.
Okay, so you just give. This is only Leonard that can give 2 predictions when I ask for a prediction. 2 predictions in the same match, ladies and gentlemen. I present. So we're done with the La Liga, because basically that is the fixture this weekend. So over to the Serie A, we have 2 big games. Firstly, we have Roma facing Napoli. But something very interesting happened to Roma. I just discovered a new club. I think Roma themselves and Roma fans just discovered the club because Roma had to play them in the Europa Conference League. Yes, you heard me right. Europa Conference League, not Europa League. And I will tell you that this club actually have not even made up their mind on what their name is because there's a slash in their name.
They have two names.
No. They haven't made up their mind on what their name is. So you have, and I'm not sure of the pronunciation. Is it Bodo? Yeah, it looks like B-O-D-O. So you have Bodo slash Glimt. They don't know what to call themselves. But I can tell you what, they beat Roma 6-1. Yes, you heard me. 6-1 in the Conference League. And we know that it was a change side for Mourinho, much of it. But still, Mourinho was furious and he has every right to be.
Man, it was embarrassing. I can't imagine Mourinho losing 6-1 to anybody. 6-1. 6. Man, embarrassing. This is
the joint most he has considered in a game in his career.
That is mad.
Yes, well, I just grimed. Oh my God.
I just think coming into this.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Spurs lost to Vitesse Arnhem.
Oh my God! 1-0, of course.
And I saw that. And one of the worst. I don't like picking on players, but one of the worst players on the pitch was Dele Alli. And I just found out something interesting about Dele Alli. Like I literally just found out about it last night. Can you guess what?
I don't know what it is. I swear to God, bro.
Dele Alli is dating Pep Guardiola's daughter.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I heard of that.
You even knew about it before me. I mean, when I saw it, I was just laughing because it was on YouTube. I watched the video, like, just say that they are dating. I was like, okay. I think her name is Maria Guardiola. Her Instagram page is private. I tried to see. And maybe if she posted pictures of both of them together, but it's private and I don't have time for private accounts. I can't be following anybody that is on private. I'm sorry. I don't have money, but still, I have self-respect. I rather just talk the celebrity in peace than to have to follow.
Of course. So you're admitting that you stalk. See him simping.
No, that's not simping. Simping is when you go and you start commenting and telling the girl, Oh my God, you're so beautiful. You're this, you're that. But I don't simp. I look at the picture. I like. Sometimes I don't even like. And I move on with my life. That's not stalking. If you like the picture, that's not stalking. But if you look at the picture without liking, and you always go back to that page, look at more pictures without liking anyone. So the person won't even know you're on the page. Then I think that is stalking. But how have we gone from football to this?
Yeah, you're the one that drifted there. You went to bring up Dele Alli dating someone. So you like online gossip.
You called me a stalker. That's why I had to defend myself.
No, the way you're even defending yourself is sounding from experience. Like you're sounding from.
No, please, back to the game. Roma Napoli. What do we see happening here?
I just think Mourinho will be furious with his boys. So most likely, he wants his boys to get a result.
Napoli have been perfect this season. Let's not forget. At least
exactly,
in the league.
Exactly. That's what I want to say. Napoli, they've been on top form. Even yesterday, they struggled. And later on, they still ended up winning, I think, 3-0. So I think Victor Osimhen is one of their key players. Even, you know what I even think? I've even watched this guy this season, Anguissa. Anguissa that was playing for Fulham, he has really, really improved. And
Anguissa was always a good player. He was just surrounded by terrible players. And then he was sort of brought down to their level a bit.
Yeah, if you're watching for Napoli, the guy is very, very good. A very good box-to-box guy. He knows how to carry the ball. He knows when to release the passes. So I think Roma, they need to pattern up. They need to step up. Unless, because if they don't do so, then I expect Roma to. I expect Napoli. I mean, to get the victory, because Napoli, they are very, very dangerous.
I won't disagree with that. I expect Napoli to win, though I don't expect it to be 6-1 again. But you can never tell. But I expect a win. I think it to be hard fought victory, but Napoli should get it at the end of the day. And then we have the game. Now we know Napoli and Roma is a big game, but then the game this weekend is the defending champions. Finally, we can say defending champions are not Juventus. Defending champions Inter Milan host Juventus. Juventus are they've won 4 games in a row, but they are still not where they should be on the table because they started the season so terribly. They are still down in 7th. And what, interestingly, they are just 3 points behind Inter, who sit in 3rd.
That shows you how Serie A is so tight this season. I've said it. Serie A is very, very interesting this season. If people just swallow their pride and just go and watch the games, it's very, very interesting. But I'll just say the Juventus one.
Does he what pride? Is it admit that your eye is better than your favorite league? Is that what you mean?
No. You know these people. Most people. Not. I will not say this. I will just say most people. They generally buy into these thoughts. Like, I'm not saying you yourself because obviously you watch other leagues. Like,
man,
I'm
just saying the Premier League, but
yes, that
only one. League.
Yes, exactly. They believe football starts in England and ends in England, so nothing else matters to them.
That's why this talk of Mo Salah being the best in the world actually irritates you so much, because although he has been in great form, yes, but we still have Lewandowski, we still have Benzema, but then exactly. People are saying Salah is the best in the world on current form. I've said he's top 3, but I'm not sure about best in the world. I think best in the world is still Lewandowski for now.
Well, exactly. The thing is, I'll not say, like, obviously in the Premier League is a very great league, but you need to watch other leagues so you see what is happening and educate yourself as well. But I'll say this
here, just to buttress your point. In England, we have 3 teams in the title race. In Italy, I can tell you at least six clubs have a realistic chance of winning the title.
Exactly. That shows you the level of competitiveness. And you know what's funny? I've always said this. Like, England, they will always make this thing of top 6, but I don't see any top 6 currently right now. Like, you know when they bring Arsenal into the top 6 and Tottenham, I just laugh because those guys, they are far from me.
But to be fair, in the last 10 years, they have been in the top 6.
But in the last 4-5 years, they've not been there. They've not been there realistically.
Remember Tottenham got to the final? Was it not just as recently as 2019? So I think Tottenham's slip is just 2 years, while Arsenal's slip has been a little more than that.
Yeah, well, I could say that. But let's go back to the Inter-Juventus game. This is a very important clash. Very, very important. It's key. It will tell us who is actually serious. Juve, if they want to still wallow in mid-table, in mediocrity, or if Inter is still ready to challenge for the title, because Inter, they are still favourite to win the league because they have the best squad and they are still like the current holders. So if they don't win this game and Napoli wins against Roma and pulls even further away from them, like, it's going to get embarrassing for them. But we've seen Inter in this position before, and I think Inter can actually pack Juventus, because Juventus, they were even lucky to even win against Roma, if not for the cheating.
But then Juventus, this season, we've seen them beat Chelsea. We've seen them, they are starting to grind out results. They've not been playing well, far from it, but they are starting to grind out results.
Yeah, I believe so. But the thing is that, like, they are just 2 individuals carrying them. I think Chiesa and who else? I can't even remember at the top of my head. But I'll just say that if Chiesa are injured, where did they go from there? So it's just crazy, but I just think Juventus, they need to be serious.
The disrespect to Dybala, Morata, Moiskin, how dare you?
Well, we all know their level for stage. The stats and the eye test shows their level.
I tried saying that to the straight face.
Of course.
So that try brings us to the end of this year. And basically, that's all for previews. Looking forward to the fixtures. So now let's look forward to FPL segment. Let's go.
For the FPL, I know everyone is excited, but I will not say me and myself, I'm excited. So, like we normally say what kind of drafts you should be looking out for if you're still on your wild card. So, which players should people be getting in different positions if they're still trying to, or if they want to use their wild card for this game week?
Now, I'm a humble man, and I accept when I've made an error. And so I'm putting my hand up right now, like my hands are literally up. And I'll say that I was wrong about Vardy in the sense that... No, I didn't say Vardy was not a good player. So maybe I wasn't even wrong.
I see. Said Vardy... Of course. You're not wrong.
I said Vardy was weirdly priced because he wasn't a premium in the sense of Lukaku, Ronaldo, and he wasn't mid-priced in the sense of Antonio and the likes. So, but the injury to Lukaku and Ronaldo's loss of form, at least in the Premier League, because he keeps going in the Champions League, loss of form in the Premier League, and the fact that you don't know where United are heading under Solskjaer, I think the absence of those two guys, I think if you have them, you should be moving on, at least move on Lukaku because he's injured, even if you want to leave Ronaldo. And I think the most obvious replacement for Lukaku right now is Jamie Vardy. Or if you're more brave and you have money in the bank, Harry Kane, he scored last week. The floodgates might just become open now.
Okay. I'll just say, I was even talking about Walker, but you've even gone to the main question I had, which was replacement for Lukaku. Okay, but who should we be targeting for this game? Their fixtures, because obviously a lot of people had Chelsea players to target because they actually face Norwich. So who are? Because right now we don't have so many premiums.
The great Norwich City, the best
of
club,
course.
The best club.
No, we don't know who to go for in terms of premiums for Chelsea. But I was saying, so which fixtures should we be targeting? Because this is an interesting game week.
Okay, so first of all, if you sold Rudiger, you might just want to give yourself a slap on the face because he's back. We saw him play in the Champions League. And surprise, surprise, Chelsea kept a clean sheet because lately it seems like that's what they do against average clubs. And against some decent clubs too, they still keep clean sheets. So we have Rudiger should be in your team. We have or any other Chelsea defender of your choice. I think Kai Havertz also, especially if you're on a wild card, Kai Havertz, we know he's going to play this game. We know he's going to play further games unless he's actually terrible in this game that he won't play further games. So, and if he's terrible against Norwich, then really he shouldn't be playing again. And so you have a Chelsea defender, you have Kai Havertz, you have Rafinha, who is playing against Wolves. You have Conor Gallagher who ran the show against Arsenal. You have him against Newcastle. I think those are some of the really key players. And then, I don't know, I look at City's attack and I just feel like the most safe option is Foden because he looks like he's in such good form that he's not going to drop to the bench. I would have said De Bruyne, but maybe it's too expensive. So, I think those are the people you should be aiming for.
Okay. What about defenders? Who are the ones that are most likely to keep clean sheet for this game?
That's a big question because it's like me saying a team is not going to score. So you expect Chelsea to keep a clean sheet. So you get a Chelsea defender. You expect City to keep a clean sheet, and Southampton could keep a clean sheet. I wouldn't really be too optimistic about it. But Southampton could keep a clean sheet. Crystal Palace could also keep a clean sheet. But I think Chelsea, City and Southampton really could keep clean sheets.
Interesting. Okay, cool. But just before we move over to the captaincy pick, which I think is a big one, because everyone had Lukaku in mind. But I'll just say, what about Pons? Because a lot of people now are moving towards getting Bremo in, because we all know how Leicester City's record is. So if you can tell us some kind of points we can get in the same price range with Mbeumo, I think that would be really helpful.
I think Mbeumo should be for next week because they face Leicester this weekend. So a bit tricky there. But from next week, Brentford have very, very good looking fixtures for a few weeks. And I'm actually kicking myself about the Mbeumo situation because his price has gotten up to 5.6 million. I bought Mbeumo like 4 weeks ago. I had him for 2 weeks. I sold him. And now that I want to buy him back, his price has gone up. So I guess that's just my luck in FPL so far this season. So Mbeumo, like you said, is a good differential. I think Rafinha is also not crazily owned. I mentioned him earlier. He's also a good differential. And I think if you look at Crystal Palace, Odson Edward has been starting games and he got on the score sheet against Arsenal. So it's a good differential as well.
So I never really thought about Edward before. So I'll check his stats. But what about Antonio? What do you think about him? So people have this situation where they don't know what to do, either to sell him or not, because some people have a lot of value in him. So let's what do you recommend?
I say sell Antonio because it's not like he's not a good player, but we've seen the goals dry up a bit and the fixtures he has coming up are not the easiest. So I think it depends on your plan. If you go from Antonio to Vardy, I think that could be a good move because Vardy is in very good form right now. If you go from Antonio to... I think Vardy is the one I trust right now. So if you go from Antonio to Vardy, it could be a good move. Or you hold Antonio for one more week against Spurs this weekend and see what happens.
All right, no problem. So let's just go down to the big one. Who should we captain this weekend?
I mean, every week we ask that question, but really, is it not just one man, Mo Salah?
Mo Salah?
Can you look past Salah against a United defense that considered 2 to Atalanta, that really should have considered 4, that considered 4 to Leicester?
Wait, you're even serious about this? So we should captain Mo Salah against Manchester United?
Are you? United's defense is not good. United, yes, they're a good team going forward, but their defense is terrible. At least recently, it has been terrible. So Mo Salah, for me, it would have been tough because if Lukaku didn't get injured, it would have been Lukaku or Salah. But right now, my choice is easy because right now is an easy Salah for me. Or if you don't want to go with Salah, you could go with Jamie Vardy. If you don't go with Jamie Vardy, you could go with Kai Havertz because of the fixture, Norwich City. I think for me, those three look like the standout picks.
Well, I will consider
or Jamie Vardy because he's in such good form and he's facing Brentford. So well, those four.
I will consider the other two ahead of Salah. I will check those ones out. So
You are doubting the king.
I'm not doubting the king. It's just that when we captain players, we want to expect him to
83 points in 8 game weeks so far this season. Only one man can do that. Only one man.
If he blanks, you'll be kicking yourself because you know that he's playing on a very, very
tough. Okay, so let me ask you this. Do you expect United to score?
Yes, I expect United to score.
Are you going to bench Arnold?
No, I'm not going to bench Arnold.
Okay. So what are you expecting? Is it not a defender? Is it not clean sheets you're looking for?
No, I know Arnold will give me attacking returns, so that's why.
Why didn't he give the returns when Liverpool scored 5 last week?
He was subbed off and
okay. Because he scored all 5 goals after I left the pitch.
No. And he just came back from injury, so
of course.
I see what you're doing. Well, no problem. I think we've come to the end of the episode. We've said what we need to say. So any final words? Well, last words basically.
No, see this final words thing. It sounds like the person is about to die, and God do not allow any of us die. So,
yeah, that's why I changed it to any last words.
No, that's worse because last and final they are the same thing. So, any last words is even worse because it's like last words before you leave this earth.
Let's say it like this. So, any closing words?
Okay, closing words. Okay. It almost sounded like closing prayer in church or something. But I'll just say that this weekend should be fun. We have big games in England, one in Spain, and also in Italy we have big games as well. So just sit back, relax and enjoy the drama that is definitely going to unfold?
Well, for me, I'll just say expect Manchester United to get a draw so that Ole keeps his job, inshallah. Other than that, we'll see you guys in the next episode. Peace.